morning. We're sorry we're late. This is the first time that we have done this, and we're learning, and it will get better every week until eventually we will all be sitting in this room. We're sorry that we're late, but let me tell you that we have had the announcements, and we just wanted to remind you that to give, you can do it four ways. You can give by mail, you can give online, you can drop it by the church and put it in the mail slot. I guess that's three ways. The church is continuing to try to minister as much as possible, and we pray that you will continue to give to the Lord during this difficult time. This is Easter. And every pastor, almost every pastor who preaches will say at one time or another, he is risen, he is alive, the grave is empty. I want to read the passage that explains that to all of us. It says, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing was as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the woman, "Don't be afraid, because I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell his disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them, and he said, "Greetings." They came up, took a hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and they will see me there." Easter and hope are synonymous. This special day never arrives without its refreshing reminder that there is a life beyond this one. True life, eternal life, glorious life. Those who live on the outskirts of hope need a transfusion. Easter gives it. There are those who still grieve over the recent loss of a mate, child, parent, or a friend. Death has come like a ruthless thief, snatching away a treasured presence. And during this time, in unprecedented numbers, through illness, the sadness of those who mourn casts a spell of loneliness, sometimes too powerful for spoken words or shallow songs to break. What is missing? To paraphrase the statement of Oscar Wilde, something is dead in each of them, and what is dead is hope. But Charles Swindoll says, there is nothing like Easter to bring it back alive. And that's what we hope today. There was so much excitement on that Sunday when the resurrection was discovered by Mary and the apostles. They saw the angel, and the angel gave them two imperatives. And then they saw Jesus, and he gave them two imperatives. The angel said, "Come, see." And Jesus said, "Go tell." Paul Rees says, there's nothing dull in any of them. Like split atoms, they yield the immeasurable energy of an incredible excitement. Come, see, go tell. Come invites us to a satisfying verification. It means, come now. Germany's most prominent atheistic Marxist philosopher Ernst Blanc said, "It was not the morality of the Sermon on the Mount which enabled Christianity to conquer Roman paganism, but the belief that Jesus had been raised from the dead." I don't know where you are in regard to Easter. I don't know if you really believe that Jesus came back from the dead or not. But I invite you to investigate it. I invite you to come. Because you see, if Jesus Christ really was raised from the dead, that makes all the difference in this world and the world to come. It can't be explained away. There's incredible evidence. There were eyewitnesses. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus Christ is alive. He is alive and he is well. Then it says, see, if you investigate, if you come, you will see that Jesus is not there. That offers us a supernatural worldview. That offers us something we never could fathom without this, the fact that there is life after death, and Jesus did come back from the dead. It's an incredible thing. Dr. Renford Moore says, if that tomb is not empty, it not only holds a man, but a religion. The resurrection and the empty tomb stand as a perpetual witness to the fact that God, far from dead or absent, is very much alive in his universe. In the Christian perspective, moreover, the resurrection shows us a world in which God has the last word. And that last word is with love, not hate, forgiveness, not rejection, with life, not death. The reason the resurrection is such good news is because Jesus came back with love and forgiveness. But Jesus added two imperatives. He said, go. This offers us as Christians a special vocation. It means, in the Greek, as you go, or going. It means quickly. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Easter is nothing if it's not mission. Easter is nothing if it's not mobility. Easter is nothing if it's not ministry. We don't just celebrate the resurrection and the empty tomb. What we are doing and what we should do and what Jesus said to do was to go and tell about that incredible resurrection. Christians must live as those who have no continuing city. They must never to appear to have settled down in this world. We are not going from the land of the living to the land of the dead. We are going from the land of the dead to the land of the living. Jesus Christ's resurrection means that we have a message. It means we have a vocation. And that message is to tell people there is hope. And that hope is in a risen Savior. And no other group, no other religion has that message of hope. Go. As you go, live in light of the fact that Jesus Christ is present. Live in light of the fact that he is resurrected. And live in light of the fact that we have a message that every boy and girl, man and woman needs. And then tell. Everyone deserves to know the good news. We are to tell. You see, the resurrection changed so many lives. It restored the faith of the disciples. It restored peace to a guilt-ridden heart in Peter. It restored life and removed the rejection and the fact that they were outcast to the Samaritans. And the word is, the victory is won. But telling it with word is not enough. Christians have never been under as much scrutiny as we are now. It's not enough to say words. The message must be modeled and lived. We speak with deeds as small as atoms and as big as mountains, but deeds at any cost. Now is the time. Now is the time for Christians not only to believe in a resurrected Christ, but to share him and deliver this message of hope in a very, very frightening time. One writer said, "Come here, see the place where he was lying, and having proceeded quickly on your way, tell his disciples he was raised from the dead." That is how it's translated. He is not here. He is risen. I cannot explain what happens, nor do I need to try. The simple fact is this: there is something altogether magnificent, therapeutic, and reassuring about Easter morning. When Christians who cannot gather in a house of worship and lift their voices in praise to the risen Redeemer at this time, this room is empty, gather in their homes with friends and family, the demonic host of hell and their damnable prince of demonic hosts are temporarily paralyzed. When pastors stand and declare the unshakable, undeniable facts of Jesus' bodily resurrection and the assurance of ours as well, the empty message of skeptics and cynics is momentarily silenced. As the thrill of standing together with those of like precious faith flows from the people of God, an almost mysterious surge of power floods over us. The benefits are innumerable. To list only a few, our illnesses don't seem so nearly final. Our fears fade and lose their grip. Our grief over those who have gone is diminished. Our desire to press on in spite of the obstacles is rejuvenated. Our differences of opinion are eclipsed by our similar faith. And our identity as a Christian is strengthened as we stand in the lengthening shadows of saints down through the centuries who have always answered back in antiphonal voice, "He is risen indeed." Now Linda will come and share this message in song.
I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy, I hear his voice of cheer, and just the time I need him, he's always near. Tune all the world around me, I see his loving care. And though my heart grows weary, I never will despair. I know that he is leading through all the stormy blast. The day of his appearing will come at last. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing. Eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King. The hope of all who seek him the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. And because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. My Jesus lives in my heart.